Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble, on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I am so glad that everybody's here tonight hanging out with me. It's been a really long week, TGIF as usual. So everybody, kick back, get relaxed, get a drink, and let's hang out and talk about some stuff that's been happening this week. You know, there's really not a whole lot of stuff that's happening in Washington right now with all the congressmen and senators being on their annual summer break, and you know what, that's probably a good thing when you think about it, because, well, they're not there to screw things up. But we did have a slight little happening here this week in the St. Louis area. We had one of those, those overpass rallies where, you know, everybody gets their gas and flags, and they get their signs out, and they stand over the highway over the pass, and really what they're kind of calling them now is impeach Obama rallies, because that's a lot of what the people are doing that are standing up on these overpasses. A lot of them have impeach Obama signs. People are fed up. People are fed up with the lagging economy that's not going anywhere. They're upset. They're fed up with no jobs. The job situation doesn't seem to be getting any better. Our standing overseas is next to nothing, if it's anything at all. And people are just fed up, and they're ready for some action. And maybe to a lot of people, impeachment would be some extreme action, but, you know, sometimes that's what it takes. But anyway, here last weekend, and they're planning another one, I believe, for tomorrow, there was a rally in the St. Charles area, in the St. Charles County area outside of St. Louis. And there was a little bit of a scuffle with St. Charles's finest up on the overpass. They were trying to get people to leave that were up there protesting on the overpass. There was a festival going on at the time, and so traffic was a little sketchy at that point anyway. But the gist of the rub of the whole thing was that the cops were trying to say that the Tea Party people, I don't know if there really was any Tea Party per se people, but the conservative activists, let's call them that. Let's call them conservative activists, because that's what they are. They are activists for liberty. They're activists for freedom. And above all, especially last weekend, they were activists for free speech. Well, St. Charles is finest. And you know what? I think that we are all in agreement when we say that nobody's got anything against the police here. You know, they are our finest. They are the cream of our crop, and they're out there just trying to do a job, and they're out there risking their lives to keep us safe and protect us every day. But I don't know. I think that this was just a little questionable. There were a few people that were arrested I don't think that it was demanded by the Patriot Police Department that these people leave the overpass. Well, you can listen to the audio here and see what you think.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron.
Well, let's try this one.
Is it polite? I've asked you to leave the overpass.
Right. Are you ask us, okay? And you ask us, we understand.
So are you going to leave?
I don't think so. What's that?
You can come with me.
Why is that?
You're failing to obey what we're telling you?
Well, I mean, what gives you authority to order me around in a public sidewalk?
That's not the question. Are you refusing to leave? That's the question.
Am I refusing to leave?
Yes.
Well, tell me what, by what authority you can tell me to leave here.
You recognize I'm a peace officer?
I recognize you're
okay.
I've
asked you and told you that you need to leave. Are you going to leave?
Is there a law? Are we breaking a law here?
I just gave you two chances. The third chance, you're going to jail with me.
For what, sir?
Do you want to go to jail, too?
I'm asking what law he's breaking. What are you going to arrest him for?
Failure to comply with the highway patrol law.
On tyranny. You're saying we can't exercise our civil
rights? Turn around, put your hands on your back.
I'm not breaking a law. What law am I breaking?
Is it necessary to tackle him to do this? He's not resisting. He's not resisting.
What am I doing, sir?
What's that?
We're taking you. Never mind. We're gonna haul you up.
Hey, Kim. Yeah. It's not a phone.
Sir,
would you take this? Would you take this?
How am I going to stand up?
Turn around.
Your knees and your chest, sir. You can stand up.
Am I going to hit my head?
Well, just ask whoever doesn't want to leave.
It does get a little grainy and a little iffy there at the end, but basically, for anybody who has seen the video, you can see it on YouTube. These guys are being placed under arrest, and they're not resisting. They're placing their hands behind their back. They're doing what the St. Charles Police Department is asking them to do. The only thing that they're not doing is leaving the overpass, which they have a right to be there. To my knowledge, there are no loitering signs or nothing that says on that overpass that you cannot stop on the overpass, that you have to keep moving and keep walking. It has been brought to my attention, though, too, that there could be, and I don't know this, if somebody is a law enforcement officer, you can call me at 347-857-2620 and tell me whether or not that this might be true or not. That someone said to me today that they thought that standing on an overpass like that and not moving might be illegal, simply for the fact that, a lot of times when you're driving down the highway and you see people that make signs out of bed sheets that'll say happy birthday or it's a marriage proposal or some other such thing, and they hang that sheet from the overpass. Well, I think that there have been several instances where those sheets have fallen and they have fallen on cars. Well, a sheet's going to fall on your car and you're not going to be able to see where you're going and you know where that's going. So in that case, yeah, you can kind of see where the police would not want you to be standing on the overpass like that. But if you are not throwing anything down into traffic or you're not, these people had flags and signs. They had nothing that was going to, that was going to harm anyone. And the police were also trying to say that by these people being here on the overpass, like I said before, there was a festival going on last weekend in that area, and so the traffic was kind of a mess and kind of backed up to begin with. And so the police were trying to say that this rally, these people gathered on the overpass, were causing traffic accidents, they were causing fender benders. Well, the one person that I did hear interviewed about this incident said that he was the first person there at 10 o'clock that morning, and there was already an accident. The police were already working an accident there at 10 o'clock in the morning before anybody else had showed up. So that excuse is a little lame, too. But I did hear, as I said earlier, I did hear that this same group is planning another protest, and they're planning another rally for tomorrow in the same spot in St. Charles on the same overpass. So interesting to see if the police return. Don't know about any festivals or any kind of anything like that happening there this weekend. So, you know, if they do have another protest, if they have another rally, and there's no other excuse, you know, now if the traffic does get backed up and the police really and truly believe that they are causing a problem, perhaps they do have the right to ask them to leave. But, you know, it seems like it's the same thing with the rodeo clown here that in Missouri, and I wrote about this over at Conservative Cauldron blog at conservativecauldron.blogspot.com. I wrote about this last week about what's happening exactly to the First Amendment here in Missouri. And it almost seems like anymore that people just kind of take when these things happen, like the rodeo clown and even things like this incident with the overpass rally, that people are just, they're kind of taking advantage that there are governmental entities coming in to trample on your right to free speech. And especially in the case of this rodeo clown, he has been banned for life in Missouri to work as a rodeo clown any longer in the state of Missouri. You know, it seems a little extreme to me. In that case, and I don't want to keep harping on the whole rodeo clown thing because it's been done to death, and I'm getting a little tired of it, and I'm sure everybody else is too. That, you know, that's the kind of thing that goes on at state fairs. Rodeo clowns and people doing that sort of thing put on presidential masks that you can buy at any Halloween store at any given time of the year. They put on presidential masks and they mock the president. That's what people do. And the only I think we all know the only difference in mocking any other president prior to Barack Obama and then mocking Barack Obama, well, I think we all know what the difference here. If you're going to poke fun at Barack Obama, that makes you a racist. Well, and like I said, it seems as though that we are allowing people to trample on our First Amendment rights. And if we do that, we're going to pay a very heavy price because all other rights, all other liberties and freedoms that we hold here, they hinge on the First Amendment, and it's something that must be protected at all costs. And if we're going to be so cavalier, we're going to allow people to trample on this. It's the First Amendment for a reason, and if we're going to allow people to trample on the first, this most important of rights, they're all important, but like I said, they all hinge on this one. And if we're going to be so casual about people trampling on this one particular right, we've got big trouble coming, people. Big trouble. But also this week, in fact, just today, Major Nadal Hisan, the Fort Hood shooter, was convicted today, thankfully. This was really kind of a no-brainer, I think. I think we all know that he was guilty. And, you know, by all accounts, I haven't been following the trial horribly closely, but I think we've all been following it just for the simple fact that Major Hisan was being his own attorney and being his own counsel. So I think probably, if for no other reason, there were probably a lot of people who just wanted to – there were probably a lot of people who just wanted to see him screw up. And send himself to the gas chamber or send himself to the lethal injection table, whatever it is they do there in Texas. You know, the one thing about Texas is that Texas doesn't play. And so, you know, their death penalty may not be anything that's quite so nice and pretty and comfortable. But it would be an electric chair. That'd be kind of cool now, wouldn't it? But anyway, he was convicted on all 13 counts of 13 counts of premeditated murder, and also on 32 counts of attempted murder. And this conviction does, in fact, make him eligible for the death penalty, which is good. We are very pro-death penalty here at the Conservative Cauldron. I may not be a Christian, but I do believe in an eye for an eye. But so the sentencing phase of this trial will begin next week. I believe it begins on Monday. Unfortunately for all of the survivors here who not only had to deal with Major Hisan and his courtroom antics, but, and you know, by all accounts that there wasn't a whole lot of them, just the fact that he was being his own attorney, which you do have the right to do in America. That's fine. But, you know, if you're not a lawyer and you haven't played one on TV, chances are your case is going to be a little, it's going to be a little wobbly. But the survivors of the Fort Hood shooting, well, you know, the Obama administration is still calling this workplace violence. Really? So, and because of that, these survivors, the people who went through what they went through, and there were people who were shot multiple times in this attack, who it also is a no-brainer that they should be eligible for a Purple Heart. They are not, because this has not been designated as a terrorist attack. It's been designated by the Obama administration as workplace violence. If we get any sissier than that, I mean, really. Anyways, we got lots more to talk about. I'm going to take a break here, and we will be right back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble, on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble, TGIF, for the love of peace. Are we all not incredibly glad it's Friday? I know I am. So, let's see, we were talking about Major Nadal Hassan being convicted of the Fort Hood shooting, which we already all knew he was guilty of anyway, and the survivors who will not be receiving any Purple Hearts because, well, this was just a little case of workplace violence. Really? Really? Again, how sissy does the Obama administration have to be? Well, because if they classify it as a terrorist attack, that means that there was a terrorist attack on Barack Obama's watch. And, well, I hate to tell him, but has he heard of the Boston bombing? There already was an attack on his watch. There was already a terrorist attack on Barack Obama's watch. So it doesn't really matter what he wants to call it. We all know that it was a terrorist attack. Also, this week we had that horrible shooting in Oklahoma. Oh, my God. I think we've all just been – what? It's so senseless. And somebody that was just completely innocent. Christopher Lane, who was a college student, and he was an Australian national here in the United States going to school, was playing baseball, and was just randomly attacked by these three teenagers, two black, one white, because, you know, we like to talk about when it's a quote white guy, unquote, who's really not a white guy, he's Hispanic, shoots a black guy, you know, we have to make sure that everybody knows which person is which race, because that's the most important thing. But apparently in this case, it's not an important thing. He was just gunned down for no other reason than these guys said that well, they were bored. They really had nothing else going on. You know, school hadn't started yet. Not that they probably would have gone anyway. And it's probably just as well, because probably none of them could have spelled school to begin with. And so they were just kind of hanging out, really with nothing else to do. And one of them said, hey, let's go shoot somebody. Because, well, they just felt like it. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, that is the kind of world that we are living in now. And you have three teenagers who have nothing else to do but go shoot somebody just because, well, they felt like it and they were bored. Does anybody else want to go live in a cabin in the woods? Because I've been thinking about it for years now. I'm thinking it's crazy like a fox. But it was announced today that this will not be prosecuted as a hate crime. And probably the saving grace of that is that one of the three perpetrators of this crime was a white kid. So he is probably only, hopefully, he's the only one that is saving these other two hyenas from being prosecuted as a hate crime. But one of these suspects had tweeted out some very hateful tweets about hating white people. They were all nasty. But apparently that doesn't make him a racist because, well, you know, have you heard anything from Jesse and Al lately this week? Well, all you've heard from Jesse and Al this week is cricket. That's all you've heard. Because, of course, to them, this is not a hate crime and there's nothing to see here, people. Move along. Actually, I need to correct myself. We did hear one thing from Jesse Jackson this week, and his quote was that this kind of behavior is, quote, frowned upon. Frowned upon? Okay, if somebody spills a drink on your carpet and doesn't clean it up, that's frowned upon. If your neighbor's dog comes and poops in your lawn, that's frowned upon. This is murder. It's a little more than frowned upon, Jesse. Get a grip, okay? It's you know, the hypocrisy of these two, you know, Jesse and Al, the gruesome twosome. It's just the hypocrisy is just so overwhelming. I mean, you can't even get your head around it. But we hope that there will be some justice for Christopher Lane and for his family because. You know, he came to America to go to school, and he came here, like a lot of other immigrants, to achieve a better life for himself. And, well, this is how we welcomed him to America, by killing him. Of course, our thoughts and our prayers go out to his family. This is so not a representation of what America is and what Americans are. And, you know, that would be one of my biggest fears, is that because this has happened now, because it's happened to someone who's, it's bad enough when it's someone who's an American, who's born and bred and raised here in America, but when it's someone from a completely different, a completely different country who came here for nothing else but to better himself and build a better life for himself, and this is how we welcomed him, and this is how we verified his idea that coming to America would be a good thing for him. We didn't do such a good job, did we? So there's that. And we hope that justice will be swift for the Lane family. On a little brighter note here, this doesn't really have a whole lot to do with anything. It's just a quote I found from El Rushfo himself. And, you know, when Rush speaks, a lot of times you don't really need to add anything else. So I just found this, and I thought it was kind of fun. So it's Friday night, and here's a little El Rushfo for you.
I got in here at the usual time after working very early this morning, late into last night, on show prep and stuff. And I get it about, 10 o'clock, I get an email from Greta Van Susteren. And I thought, no. I just did her show. She can't be asking me back. And it wasn't that. Her email was, man, oh, man, do you live rent-free in Obama's head? And I said, what's this? So I read further. And she just assumed that I knew what she was talking about. And I didn't. But I kept scrolling her email, and she'd finally attached a Mediaite story in which President Obama, in an interview this morning on CNN with Chris Cuomo, had once again blamed me for the gridlock in Washington. I am the reason he can't move his agenda forward, which, of course, is silly because he's getting everything he wants. He blamed me again. I mean, it's like a broken record. You know what I think is happening? I think that nobody's listening to Obama anymore. I don't think he commands nearly the attention or the interest that he does. And so what he's doing is going back to the greatest hits. Kind of like if you're in a radio station and losing audience, go play the hits. You know, stop the new age stuff and go play the hits. Well, he's going back and he recycled this idea that the Republicans are not cooperating with him because they're afraid of what I'm going to say about them. The Republicans are not listening to me. The true irony here is the Republicans are not listening to me. I don't know who the Republicans are listening to outside of their consultants, but they're not listening to me. But he's out there telling everybody he's got to blame somebody. But for what?
Like I said, when Rush speaks, you don't really have to add anything else because, you know, he's the man. He's the trendsetter. He's the pioneer. He is the reason why all of us are sitting in front of our computers tonight. So, way to go, Rush. As usual, you are spot on, brother. Spot on. But just a few little tidbits here before we go. UN Ambassador Samantha Power, who has been on a job for approximately 19 days, and you all can guess, you know, if you had a job for 19 days, if you didn't show up to a meeting, what would happen to you? But apparently she blew off a Security Council meeting on the use of chemical weapons in Syria. Now we have absolute proof that there was chemical weapons used in Syria. And she was nowhere to be found. She did send out a tweet about how awful this was and how the UN must do something and we must act to stop this. But she couldn't bring herself to attend the meeting because she had something else better to do. This, again, after only 19 days on the job. So there's that. Another little local tidbit here, Jamila Nasheed, who is a state senator here in Missouri. Well, she also, apparently Twitter is just the place to go if you want to drop F-bombs, if you happen to be a state senator or someone like that, and you just want to be completely outrageous. And she said that she was tired of right-wing idiots and something about an effing rodeo clown and God knows what else, but you know, I did have to answer this, and my only response to this was, stay classy, Dems, stay classy. Anyway, that's about all I got for tonight. I'm glad that everybody could be here hanging out with me. I'm sure we're going to be hearing probably in the next week about these idiots who shot Christopher Lane, Australian students here in America. Let's hope that justice begins for them very swiftly this week. We will get the sentencing phase of the Nadal Hassan trial. More tidbits, I'm sure. There's always great tidbits from Rush. So also, if there is, in fact, another impeach Obama overpass rally, I will definitely bring it to you and we will talk about it. So with that, I will tell you, please go to where it started, it all started, the conservativecauldron.blogspot.com. Please go to conservativecauldron.weebly.com for all sorts of news and fun stuff. You can find me at Facebook at facebook.com/BeckyNoble. My Twitter handle is @PatriotWitch, and go to examiner.com for a bunch of other writings and various assorted things. So, anyway, thanks for listening tonight. You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Conservative Cauldron Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.